Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 107 of the Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Hey, next weekend, catch us at the San Francisco Sketchfest, January 29th, 30th, and 31st. Three shows. Guests will include Harlan Williams, Lorraine Newman, Matt Bronger, and a ton more. You can find more information at sfsketchfest.com. But today's show is round one, recorded January 18th, 2015, at the Virgil in Los Angeles, featuring Kieran Diol, Jack Allison, Andy Sell, and Allison Stevenson, reading pieces they wrote in advance based upon topics of their choosing. Enjoy.
Ah, give it up for your first time, Kieran Diol, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it going for Kieran Diol, all the way in the back of the room. Late to the venue and late to the stage, she is 0-2.
Hi, guys. Let's pretend we didn't see any of that, right? That was fun. Okay, so I am doing a story, fan fiction. This is my first time being on fan fiction, and so I was just working on it until the last minute, just like, you know, away. And do you know my topic? No, they don't know.
Tell them or you can keep it a secret.
It's the Oscars, you know. I decided to do it on the Oscars, and I just want to give you just a tiny little bit of backstory. I'm sure, clap if you know, like, the whole problem with diversity. You know about this, right? Okay, cool. So you know about the problem with diversity on the Oscars. So I looked it up, and the statue of the Oscars is actually based on a Mexican actor named Emilio Fernandez. And that's true. And so this is fan fiction about that story. Okay, this is called The Ghost of Emilio Fernandez. Emilio Fernandez. It starts with a flashback to 1928 in the voice of Emilio Fernandez. Cedric's lips touch my ear. Warm. Close. Well, doll, have a look-see. My buttocks tight, my member bared. I stare at the tiny gilded statue molded in my own image. Secretly, I'm impressed. Cedric is a tiny gnome of a man, greedy, anxious, sniveling. But the statue he has made is a work of art, defiant, noble. I will name him after my grandfather, Oscar, I declare. Oh, Emilio, mi amore, he whispers. His Spanish is terrible, cringeworthy, really. I want to smack him off of me like the tiny, undeserving, gnarled-looking bitch monkey of a ferret that he is. But he is powerful, and I am an actor, so I say nothing. I close my eyes and try to breathe steady as he traces his fingers along the small of my back, then along the dents of my cum gutters. Like the rest of me, they are wide, impressive in girth. The cement against the soles of my feet is hard, and I grow hard accordingly. He is ugly, but I pay no mind. I am a man, and every 7 minutes, I am horny. In the throes of disgust slash passion, I reach over roughly and hold him by the roots of his hair. Just promise me one thing. Oscar will be for everybody. For all of the different colors of the people. If you disobey my wishes, I, Emilio Fernandez, who plays a terrible curse on the Academy. We pinky swear. Then, we fuck. Okay, so now we flash forward to present day. I spent a lot of time on this. Okay, so now it's January 15th, 2015, which is 3 days ago. And that concludes the nominees for the 87th Annual Academy Awards. From his home in Key Biscayne, Miami, Sidney Poitier, the first black actor to win an Oscar, turns off his television, dismayed. Over the next 3 days, social media will explode, criticizing the Oscars with hashtags like #OscarsSoWhite, trending on Twitter. But Sidney knows none of this. And so he turns towards his trusty Oscar sitting next to him. And that's when he sees it. A single teardrop rolling down the Oscar's gold-coated face. Perhaps a cum-stained teardrop, since this is all set up and the story is supposed to be erotic, but a teardrop nonetheless. The teardrop hits the floor, and the ghost of Emilio Fernandez appears in Mirage. I have placed a terrible curse on the Academy. Erectile dysfunction! At this, the Mirage magically shows the inside of an Academy meeting. Everyone has their dicks out in a huge circle jerk, but they can't get them hard. The room is filled with chaos. Panic. Clint Eastwood pops 6 Viagra, but it is no use. Michael Moore's legs are splayed like a Russian gymnast in the Olympics, with Tom Hanks and Robert Redford trying to double-team the sordid, bitter flaccidness. James Franco even has a finger in his stink while shooting Pineapple Express 9 and studying for a PhD in existential bullshit from Oxford Umbia. But still, it's no use. Their judgment is clouded, and so it will remain until they release. It is up to you, Sidney Poitier, to lift the curse. It is up to you. All right, that's pretty much it for that bad accent. Once Sidney isn't sure he's on mushrooms, he gets pretty excited. Both Oscar and Sidney are sexual people slash statues, so they both have hard-ons. Gold-plated, of course. Also, it's been a while since Sidney has worked, and now he has a chance to live out his one true fantasy. Playing a leading man in Hollywood. Erotic indeed, huh? Sidney, a true champion of the people, assembles a dream team of Hollywood's A-list to help. Folks like Ang Lee, who he interrupts in the middle of a tantric gangbang with 57 white women. And Catherine Bigelow, who is sodomizing James Cameron like she does every Tuesday per their prenuptial agreement. Folks like Morgan Freeman and Penelope Cruz, who sometimes do it. David Oyelowo and Selma Hayek, who always do it. Shonda Rhimes is there, even though she works in television, because no one tells Shonda what she can do. She's the Oprah of today. Then there's Dave Patel from Slumdog Millionaire, and me, because fuck it, it's my story, and I'd like to get laid in my fantasy. Oh, and Uncas from Last of the Mohicans, because my cousin had a crush on him for a while, and she actually stalked him in a way that's pretty scary. He works in swap meets selling beads now. Now assembled, we stand together as Sidney Poitier's children. We are on the precipice of our mission, frightened, but together. Standing outside the doors of an Academy luncheon, Sidney Poitier looks into each of our eyes and touches every single one of our faces with the caress of an all-knowing, all-loving father. You are the you that you choose to be, he says with his own deep personal intensity. Now let's go fuck some white people. And like a magnificent confetti blast in a Baz Luhrmann movie, the dream team descends upon a room of Hollywood's A-list from behind a larger-than-life Oscar statue. Billy Crystal tap dances in BDSM gear while the half-hearted sword fight between Matt and Ben is blessed by Sidney's holy papal kiss, and things begin to look up, down under. Spielberg, Lucas, and Coppola begin a circle jerk, and their tiny penises rise, like the earth greeting the sun with the love and blessing of David Oyelowo. J-Law trips over dicks while Brangelina is the centerpiece of activities, groping and fondling while a beige-looking Addison screams, "You fucks! I'm nominated! A young Ben Kingsley fucks a happy Kieran Deal, all the while asking, who are you? While Dame Judi Dench rides the shit out of Bradley Cooper, who laments, my hair, it needs relaxing, it needs relaxing, while Shonda Rhimes shouts from the sidelines, boy, you don't know pain. A Reggie Watts song plays for no reason. And in the middle of it all, Amal Clooney hosts in white opera gloves a fairy godmother Cinderella next to Sidney Poitier himself, conducting the chaos, moaning the rhythm until slowly, surely, magnetically, the phallus of the larger-than-life Oscar statue itself rises like the tide pulled by the force of the moon, higher, higher, and higher still, until finally the bulging, throbbing, magnificent gilded dig erupts, spraying tin and copper and bronze and more tin, splayed with just a bit of gold, because like the industry itself, the semen is largely without substance. But it doesn't matter, because the jizz shower of precious and not so precious metals rains down on the Academy members like an elixir of redemption. And the fog of their cloudy judgment rises, and they see the error in their ways. David Oyelowo reprises his role from Selma with a, "Free at last, free at last." And he immediately wins 8 Oscars. The curse is lifted, it's duty done, and the ghost of Emilio Fernandez is freed. Unlike real life, everything changes. And the phallus morphs into a giant vagina, the ultimate giver of life, after all. And all of Hollywood's, nay, all of God's A-list, black, white, yellow, tan, brown, and gray, climb into the vagina spaceship and are whisked away. Because they realize the vapid emptiness of award shows and instead choose heaven, where it turns out that the one true religion is Scientology. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Thank you. Cheerio!
Over here.
Back here.
Keep going to Allison Stevenson, your second round one competitor.
Allison Stevenson, all the way to the mic for Allison Stevenson.
Hey, Allison.
Doing the Big Bang Theory. We got any Big Bangers? Yes? Okay.
Felt like a no.
All right, well, let's just fucking start, huh? All right. It started off a Wednesday evening like any other at Leonard and Sheldon's apartment. Leonard, Sheldon, Howard, and the Indian guy sat around the couch talking about comic books, Star Wars, science, and that's about it, because they're nerds, and that's all nerds talk about. Leonard makes some hilarious pun relating Chinese cooking woks to Ewoks. The audience laughs for 2 minutes. Then the Indian guy says something in his funny accent. Audience laughs for another 2 minutes. In walks hot girl, Penny. "Hey guys, I'm dumb. Can I ask you a question?" Howard is foaming at the mouth. The sight of a woman makes him insatiable because he is a nerd and nerds don't have sex. The Indian guy can't look her in the eye because he is a nerd and being in the presence of a woman terrifies him. Sheldon, however, is composed. He could care less about Penny, unless she was a mint-condition collectible superhero figurine, of course, because he is a nerd and nerds have Asperger's. Leonard is the only one able to communicate with her because he respects her. He acknowledges that what she lacks in smarts, she makes up for in social skills and perky breasts. Leonard gestures for her to have a seat. "Sure, Penny, what's up?" Penny is so stupid that she stands on the chair instead of sitting on it. "No, Penny, bend the knees. You always forget to bend the knees." "Oh, that's right, I always forget." Penny then bends her elbows, still standing on the chair. "This doesn't feel right." Leonard chuckles. "How many times do we have to go over it?" "These are your knees. Bend them, then have your feet touch the ground." She finally gets it right. Leonard, Sheldon, Howard, and the Indian guy look to each other at the same time, then look to the camera and say, "Women." Audience lasts for 6 minutes. So at work today, a psychic told me that an asteroid was going to hit Earth tomorrow. Sheldon quickly interjects, "That's impossible! Apophis is the only asteroid that could possibly hit Earth, but that asteroid doesn't pose even the slightest threat until the year 2029, and even then the science shows that it will most likely just miss us at a distance of 9 million miles close to our planet." The audience laughs at Sheldon for saying this, for some reason, probably because he's a lame nerd with Asperger's. Penny then says, so I don't have to have an orgy with four science geeks to save the planet from being hit by the asteroid? Howard responds quickly, oh, that asteroid! Yeah, that one's coming tomorrow, remember, guys? It was in the Mensa newsletter last week. Sheldon is still being an uptight fucking nerd. No, it wasn't. I can pull up the newsletter right now, in fact. Howard shuts Sheldon up and says, hey, can I talk to you three in Leonard's room real quick? Now? The three head to Leonard's room, leaving Penny in the living room alone to bite into a plastic apple. Get it? She's dumb. Howard quickly shuts the door behind them. You guys, whoever this crazy psychic was, he has our best interests at heart. We have to do this. Leonard is shocked. Howard, how could you possibly think this is a good idea? I'm a pent-up, horny nerd. But it's cruel. We can't have sex with Penny under these circumstances. It's lying. In fact, I think it might be rape. Hey, you've seen Revenge of the Nerds, haven't you? It's not rape if she's enjoying it. I can't agree to do this. Oh, I get it. You don't think you're good enough. You're nervous you won't be able to keep up with my stamina. The audience laughs, knowing full well Howard has a small dick. The Indian guy finally says something again. I don't want you guys to see me naked. Sheldon is having a panic attack and shouting, I refuse to engage in coitus! The audience laughs because he's saying coitus instead of sex, and that's funny. Howard gives an inspiring speech about them being nerds. When else are we going to get a chance to have sex with a hot chick? Nerds don't have sex with hot chicks. We can only have sex with women who are equally as unattractive and socially awkward as us. Or worse, fat. Life is cruel to us. We deserve better. In fact, this is owed to us. He finishes his speech, and the men are so inspired that they agree to do it. Sheldon is on the floor, shaking in the fetal position. The audience is going, ooh, for some reason. Oh, never mind. A crew member pressed the wrong audience reaction button. The audience quickly switches to laughter, and the crew member is fired. The four go back to the living room. Penny is standing there naked. Howard immediately comes. Ah, these were the new corduroys my mom bought me. Leonard takes off his corduroys. I'm going in. Nuh-uh-uh, safety first, says Penny. Oh, of course, Leonard replies. He goes back to his room, then comes back out with a helmet on his head. An actual helmet on his head. You see, he thought that's what she meant by safety first, because he has never had sex. The audience is crying from laughter. Screw it, Penny says. I can't get pregnant if I do jumping jacks afterwards. The audience can't handle this instance of such extreme back-to-back hilarity. They're unable to breathe and are starting to convulse. Leonard puts his average-sized dick inside Penny. Penny shouts to Indian guy, rub my nipples! He nervously rubs them, realizing more and more that nipples look like a woman's eyes, but are just on her boobs instead of her face. He closes his eyes and pretends there's something dorky, like a Wii controller or some shit. She then shouts to Howard, make yourself useful, lick my clit. Howard shakes his head no, because he's a scared little shithead. Penny screams at him, do it now! Howard gets down and begins licking her clitoris. Penny yells at him, like a lollipop, not a corn on the cob. The audience is dead, but if they weren't, they'd all be laughing. Leonard is still thrusting inside her. Penny tells him to come. I did, a while ago. Well, then get the fuck off of me. Indian guy, your turn. I don't know about this. Just do me from behind so we can avoid eye contact. Oh, okay. That might work. He then unzips his corduroys and puts his dick inside her. Two of her butt pimples look like tiny eyeballs. He panics, but this time pretends he is just having sex with a genderless butt that happens to have vision. I'm good at sex, he thinks to himself. A minute goes by and Penny tells him to just come already. I did, a while ago, he mutters. Penny gets up and walks towards Howard. She rips off his corduroys and licks his cum stain. Good enough. Sheldon, your turn. Sheldon keeps yelling that he won't do it. The four chase him around the living room and finally pin him down. Penny then unzips his corduroys. His Star Trek boxers are revealed. The audience has been resurrected from the dead so they could laugh at this. Penny pulls down his boxers and Sheldon's penis is revealed. It is huge! Penny looks to the camera and says, Bazinga. Sheldon is suddenly getting hard. Penny keeps saying it. Bazinga, 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 bazinga. Sheldon's penis grows with each bazinga until it stands fully erect at 36 inches. Suddenly, it starts turning bright green and moving in all directions while making strange humming noises. What's happening? Asks Leonard. We're going home, Sheldon responds. Penny then grabs Sheldon's dick with both hands. She turns to the boys and says, Virgin male sperm is the only substance with a similar chemical makeup to the fuel from our planet. Now that it's inside me, I can regurgitate it into the ship. You mean his dick? You're gonna throw up our sperm onto his dick? Penny ignores Leonard and out of her mouth spills the sperm from the three virgins. It permeates into Sheldon's ship dick. He looks at it and says, finally, a full tank. You have no idea how much of your sperm I've been collecting all these years. Wait, what is going on here? Who are you? Asks Indian guy. It doesn't matter now. I just want to say thanks, you guys, for being my friends and for staying virgin so you could unknowingly provide me with enough fuel to take myself and Penny back to our home planet. We're sorry we're lying, but we couldn't tell you the truth. We knew you'd be huge dweebs about it, Penny says. She then enters the spaceship by getting on top of Sheldon and sticking his dick ship inside her. A bright green light glows from her mouth. She looks at the boys and says, by the way, your planet will be destroyed as soon as we get home. Sheldon adds, bazinga, bitches! The two then shoot through the apartment roof. The guys watch as they disappear in the night sky. I can't believe I'm gonna die a virgin, whines Howard. The audience laughs for the last time.
Allison Stevenson! Giving over Andy Sell! Racing from the back, Mr. Andy Sell. Hey, pal.
Hey, buddy. How many 90s kids are in here right now?
BuzzFeed.com.
90s kids? You remember a show called Are You Afraid of the Dark? Yeah, it's gonna get... You're gonna be set. Okay.
Gary walks through the forest, shivering against the chilly autumn wind. The crunch of leaves underfoot makes his cock stir with anticipation for tonight's meeting. It's been years, and the weekly campfire gathering of friends for ghost stories has lost a little magic, especially now that the dark tales have taken an erotic turn. Look, guys, it's like in the future. They're all of consenting age now, so it's not weird. In the clearing, Gary sees the rest of the Midnight Society sitting around the fire. You know, Frank, the tough guy, Kristen, the sophisticated, Sam, the tomboyish girl next door, Tucker, the bratty brother, Eric, the whiner, Betty Ann, the weirdo, and Kiki, the lesbian. It really is too bad that David died in that car accident. He would have loved this. Don't worry, he was jerking off while driving and climaxed right before he hit the tree, so it was a good way to go. Gary takes his seat on the storyteller chair, noticing that the others have paired off, as per usual, with Betty Ann in a ball gag in her mouth, lying like a dog curled at the feet of Kiki, who is tapping a writing crop on her thigh. Gary begins his story. Everybody thinks that being a virgin sucks, he begins, picking up the bag of ceremonial flash powder. Whatever, you get it. It's scary stuff with a twist and a bunch of fucking. Just pretend I say something ominous right now. A chorus of oohs resounds from the group. Gary pulls a fistful of powder out of the bag. Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society. I call this story The Tale of the Shrieking Fuck Toy. Or Haunted Dildo, whatever. Gary begins. Maddie was the new girl in school.
She just, ah, oh, for fuck's sake, Kiki interrupts. Is this another story about a new girl in school who gets partnered up with a bad boy for a class assignment and her panties get soaky and then they have to solve some supernatural shit and the bad boy's name is Jordan or some shit and he wears Bugle Boy shirts and a skater boy haircut? Jesus, just get to the good stuff already, Gary, you fucking homo. Gary stutters, wait, do they double team the ghost of the prom queen? Asks Eric, prodding Tucker with his erection. Or they have to put the rest, the tortured spirit of a boy who died of autoerotic asphyxiation in the 60s, squeals Tucker, grinding his supple ass against Eric's stiffening crotch. Guys, no, Gary pleads. Oh, does Dr. Vink make an appearance? Does he take the hand of the jar and put it in somebody? Kristen asks, her face reddening as she reaches a hand up under her blouse. Do they fuck in the funhouse at the amusement park? Does Zeebo the clown put cigarettes out of their asses? Asks Tucker. Oh, wait, do they hump in the back of the phantom cab, asks Frank? Or in the mall that turns into a giant pinball game? That's stupid, Kiki interjects. Look, Gary says. They go to a haunted house and they start to get it on in the attic. Then skip to that part, Kiki says. Okay. The house was a dilapidated three-story Queen Anne, gables, eaves, balustrades, a turret, haunted as fuck. It was full of spooky shit like dolls and portraits and spiders or whatever. And they went up to the attic and Jordan like lit a few weird black candles in there. He found a blanket and put it on the ground even though there was a pentagram on it. And then he pulled Maddie close. Their clothes came off in a frenzy of groping hands and hot breath. Their lips and tongues met in frantic, moist collisions as they unbuttoned buttons and unzipped zippers. She felt a flush of warmth and moisture and moaned softly as she reached between his legs and found the impressive circumference of Jordan's hardening pork log. Jordan laid down on his back, and this is where it gets kind of weird. See, Jordan asked Maddie to do all kinds of hateful shit to him, like choke him and slap him and like wrap his wallet chain around his dick and like call him homophobic slurs. And Maddie wasn't really in the homophobic slurs part because both of her dads are gay and that's fucked up. But she did it anyway and thought it really even turned her even more on. And then he asked her to punch his balls and cut him with a pocket knife. And she did. She totally cut him, and then like a drop of blood went from the cut onto a nearby object that they didn't know about, and then the object made a shrieking sound, you know, like, ah! The object did that, and Jordan was like, what was that noise? And then Maddie's like, oh, it's this, and then Kiki interrupts with, hey, come on, what's this object about? Tell us what the object is. And Gary's like, I'm getting to that. It's this fucking long tendril thing with like thorns and it twists and there's like a face on the end of it with like a demon face and it's like mouth is stretched open with all these like crooked fangs coming out of it. And Jordan sees that and he's like, oh, put that in my butthole. So Maddie did. Maddie put it in his butthole and he like came immediately, just harder than ever before, jerked and wailed in painful ecstasy. But the thing is, like, there was no cum, there was like no jizz came out of him. And Maddie was like, that's weird. Because Maddie was a virgin, but she still knew, like, you know, she had to take health class. So she knew that it was kind of weird that there was no actually, like, ejaculate. So she looked at his dick, his limp, dry dick. But then, like, his dick started, like, elongating and pulsating, and, like, his pee hole opened up. And there was all these fangs in his pee hole. And it started shrieking. His dick started shrieking, you know, like the object. Ah! Ah! His dick's, like, screaming. And Maddie was like, oh, God, you need a doctor. This isn't normal. And Jordan was like, I think it might be paranormal. I know where we need to go. So they go to Sardo's magic shop. And they walk in, and Jordan's like, Mr. Sardo, I need your help. And he's like, Sardo. No, mister, accent on the dough. So Sardo examined Jordan's newly terrifying pecker, and he shrieked the whole time. Ah! You know, it was really weird and scary. And then Jordan thought it might have something to do with that strange object that Maddie put in his asshole. And sure enough, it was still in there. They couldn't get it out. Sardo like puts a little grease on there, gets it out, and he instantly recognized the thing. He says, "Ooh, this is a totem of an ancient Babylonian cum demon that served the sorcerer Goth. What is it with kids at your school, by the way? They're always getting into trouble with supernatural shit." And then. Maddie was like, can you help or what? This is, I don't care what it is. You need to fix this. I need to fuck this dude. And then Sardo's like, I don't know if I can help, but I know someone who could. Oh, Vinky! And then another fat man with long gray hair and a huge beard came out of the back room. And Maddie's like, who are you? And he's like, Vink's the name. Dr. Vink. Vink? Vink with a va-va-va. I know this totem, and it needs the blood of a virgin to activate. So at this point, Maddie's confused, because Jordan is not supposed to be a virgin. He's supposed to, like, he's a bad boy, so supposedly he, like, humped a bunch. And then Jordan confesses, look, I've never humped. I've never wanted anything more from a girl than demeaning me during a handjob. But you're different, Maddie. I want to fuck you so hard your skeleton collapses and all your organs get squished. I think I love you. Oh, Jordan, I love you too, Maddie squealed and giving him a passionate kiss, Jordan's fuck muscles shrieking. Doc, you know you better fix this boy so I can ride the breath out of him. And then Doctor, at this point, Kiki gets upset again. She's like, come on, what the fuck is going on here? Like, get to the actual cool shit already. And Gary's like, no, you don't understand, like, Dr. Vink has this weird steampunk fleshlight that he made that's gonna, like, milk. This shouldn't have to do this whole ritual where, like, Maddie has to piss into Jordan's mouth and Jordan's not into it because he thinks pee is icky. Even though he's into, like, hate speech and cutting and stuff during sex. And Kiki's like, look, we get it, Gary, we get it. You want us to validate your weird golden shower fetish. And Gary's like, no, look, you don't understand. I'm just trying to tell a scary story. And Kiki's like, all of our scary stories have been scarier than yours. And Frank's like, yeah, you fucking piece of shit. And then Gary's like, yeah, Frank, like your story about vaccinations causing autism last week was really terrifying. At which point, Kiki impatiently pulls on Betty Ann's leash. She's like, you don't understand. We don't even care about the stories anymore. We just want you to say some hot shit so we can fuck. And Gary gets upset by this. And the other crowd gets so turned on by Gary being disappointed and depressed in himself. And they all start fucking. And Gary's like, you don't understand, we're about to get to the point where Sardo and Dr. Vink fuck. Vink was going to do that va-va-va thing on Sardo's sweaty little worm. And Sardo was going to be like, it's Sardo, no Mr. Accent on the dough, my God. And it was going to be really clever and cool, but they're not listening to him. Kristen is touching herself while Frank's fucking Sam's face. Tucker and David are just going at it super hard. Just cum flying all over each other's eyes. They're into eye cum. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. And Betty Ann is just being tortured by Kiki so bad. And they realize that there's no water in the bucket to put the fire out. And they're like, Kiki's like, oh, my girl can squirt though. I'm gonna fill that bucket up. I don't know if you guys read that article, but it's bullshit. That's not true about the squirting being piss. And Gary gets real sad at all this, because it used to be about the stories to him. So Gary walks away from the clearing into the woods, the sounds of animal passion echoing behind him. He remembers when the night used to be about spooky stories, not the fucking. And he sighs.
Mandy Sell. A heartfelt, ominous ending to Mandy Sell. Keep it going for your final round one. Competitor Jack Allison, ladies and gentlemen. You can do better than that for Jack Allison.
Alright, this is called At Midnight or the Unexpected Virtue of Honesty. Chris Hardwick sat in the back seat of an SUV barreling down Santa Monica Boulevard toward the At Midnight stage of Hollywood Center Studios. He flicked his iPhone, glancing through the emailed script of the day's show. Apparently a dog rode a bus. Thrilling stuff. Things had been looking up for Hardwick recently. He'd come far from the past his prime former singled-out host he was just a few years before. Now he stood tall with the most famous podcast hosts, had a stranglehold on the world of wrap-up shows, and finally was the host of his own comedy panel show. Even more than that, he was an icon, a geek god, a nerd messiah come to lead his flock away from basement dwelling and League of Legends games to a newfound relevance. He had everything he ever wanted, but he couldn't help but feel that something was wrong, that this wasn't him. He reached into his Herschel backpack and retrieved his custom Sewell water bottle emblazoned with meme text reading, "Why you no talk dead?" He cocked back his head and took down a gigantic gulp of refreshing water. It was at this point the doctor realized the only way to escape the game show planet was to win the game. Chris, are you listening? This was Nathan, Chris's personal assistant and aspiring nerd melt comedian. He was giving Hardwick his weekly rundown of the events of that week's Doctor Who episode. Yeah, of course, so he wins the game and they rock it off in the Tarkus, right? Do you mean TARDIS? No, the Tarkus, the thing, the porta potty he goes through space on. It's the TARDIS, Chris, and it's a phone booth. I know you know this. You have a TARDIS as the door to your personal workout room in your home. Right, the TARDIS, of course. Sorry, I'm just really distracted. Chris raised his water bottle to his lips again and took another enormous sip. As the chilly liquid settled into his stomach, he pondered who he had become and wondered if he would ever know who he really was. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. Today, the internet went crazy for this dog who rode a bus by himself. But what were the other commuters thinking? Nikki Glaser from Nikki and Sarah Live. Not the worst breath on the bus. I'm Chris Hartwick. Welcome to At Midnight. If there was a prototypical episode of At Midnight, this was it. The show was now a well-oiled machine. Chris hadn't even finished reading the script. He knew he could wing it from the teleprompter. The guests were familiar faces, friends of the show. Nikki Glaser from Nikki and Sarah Live. The ebullient comic Ron Funches, and beefy star of the Birthday Boys, Mike Mitchell. Each the victor of a previous episode, they'd amassed enough points amongst the three of them to last a lifetime. Chris barely had to pay attention, and someone would win the internet before he knew it. After a well-fought hashtag war, that night's was the particularly inspired hipster a movie, Chris showed a video of employees at a car dealership being mean to a pizza delivery driver and instructed the comedians to write the dealership a Yelp review. He threw it a commercial. The show's writers scurried out to provide the comedians with their pre-written responses. And Chris swigged from his water bottle. He sucked down gulp after gulp, the cool refreshment sloshing around his stomach. He shimmied from one foot to the other so that it would slosh a little more. He liked the way it felt. He liked knowing it was inside him. Back from commercial, he didn't even hear the comedians' responses to the live challenge. Instead, he imagined that inside himself there was a water balloon. He made himself feel the water balloon right there below his stomach. It was affixed to a hose and filled to the brim, but the water didn't stop coming. The balloon was stretched, taut. If someone wasn't careful, it was liable to burst and spray its warm water everywhere. Everyone was staring at Chris. He pushed the precarious balloon from his mind. The three contestants had finished reading their responses and were waiting for him to assign points. He did so arbitrarily. He focused his eyes on the scrolling text of the teleprompter and moved to the next topic. Some might call this an overshare. Hashtag hold it was trending on Instagram this week as users posted pictures of themselves waiting for the bathroom and trying not to... It was though as the next word hovered before him. The color of the text is yellow, is what the word described. P. The balloon appeared again to Chris. It needed to burst. It had to. He knew it would feel so fucking good. Chris took a moment. I'm sorry, I can't do this. All this, the shows, the podcast, the nerd shit, it's not me. It's not what I'm passionate about. Not really. And life's not worth living unless you're expressing your passion. Tonight, I stand before the world and proudly declare... I, Chris Hardwick, am a piss freak. The smell, the heat, the way it feels on my skin and face, pissing on people, being pissed on. I love piss. I live for piss. Hardwick stood behind the podium before the stunned audience and contestants. He felt stripped as though he was naked before them. But he also felt whole, honest for the first time maybe in his entire life. Silence dominated the studio. Chris looks to the prompter for guidance, but that sexy yellow word still hung before him. Nikki Glaser from Nikki and Sarah Live cleared her throat. I'm a smosher. Chris turned to her. We looked in each other's eyes, each truly seeing the other for the first time. I can only get off if I'm smashing food against my naked body. Chris nodded solemnly. A word escaped his lips. Points. Ron Funches hit his buzzer. I'm a bear, Chris. I'm a bear and I only want to fuck other bears. Points emerged from Chris's lips, hot, breathy. Birthday boy Mike Mitchell raised his head, tears in his eyes. It was odd to see a man with such a linebacker's physique cry. Ron, I'm a bear too, and I only want to fuck other bears. Points! The fattest man on IFC approached the fattest man on NBC. Funches lowered himself to his knees, presenting his gigantic black ass to Big Mitch. Mitch lowered his jeans, his long, thin dick already hard as a rock. It slid easily into the meaty divide. Nikki Glaser from Nikki and Sarah Live sprinted to the nearby craft service table, retrieving a handful of hostess treats. She tore off her shirt and bra and smashed a ho-ho into her exposed tits. Chris slowly, purposely undid his belt, unbuttoned his designer jeans, lowered the zipper, retrieved his fleshy, flaccid cock. It was time for the dam to break. The balloon burst. Hardwick pushed as hard as he could and loosed a powerful stream. Nikki Glaser from Nikki and Sarah Live was immediately drenched, urine cascading down her messy chest and mixing into the mushy foodstuffs. He refocused his stream, spraying into the beards of both Funches and Mitchell as the doughy comedians came to a mutual climax. As the stream came to a natural conclusion, Hardwick's entire body shuddered. He had never felt this way before. He looked upon the stage, the three deviant comedians writhing in pleasure atop a mixture of pastries, cum, and glorious sulfuric piss. There was a stirring within Chris. His penis became erect as he stared upon the scene. He felt an ecstasy he'd never felt before. As semen rushed through his vast deference, he came to an unassisted orgasm, crying out, "Points! Points! Oh my God, points! 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 Oh, points! Points! Points!" Hardwick crumpled to the floor, every inch of his body quaking. He would have the TARDIS doorway to his workout room removed tomorrow. He knew now, for the first time, what it truly meant to be yourself.
Jack Allison. Jack, you can stay right here. You get all the other competitors from round one up. You guys will be voting on a winner. This is as good a time to any to tell you that you can listen to this show every week on the Nerdist Podcast Network. Possibly for the final time. Round one, where are the rest of you? Round one competitors. Okay, any minute, the rest of the round one competitors will come up. First, I'm going to remind you of what they all read, and then in a moment, you'll be voting on a winner once they're all up here. We started with Kieran Deal with the Oscars. We then had Allison Stevenson with the Big Bang Theory. Andy Sell with Are You Afraid of the Dark? Where the fuck is Andy? Bye, Andy! And finally, Jack Allison with At Midnight. So, pick a winner with your applause, starting with Kieran Deal, the Oscars. Allison Stevenson, Big Bang Theory. The absent yet eligible Andy Sell with Are You Afraid of the Dark? And Jack Allison with At Midnight. I believe that's Allison Stevenson with the Big Bang Theory. You're round one champion. Let her hear it. Thank you so much, round one competitors. No thank you to Andy Sell for being a jerk.
That does it for round one. To hear round two, you can download episode 108 next week. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And for more details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or follow the show at CE Fanfic. Have you been enjoying this free podcast? Well, you can help competitive erotic fanfiction stay free by completing this short anonymous survey. It'll take no more than 5 minutes, and your answers will help match our show with advertisers that best fit the sensibilities of the podcast and the listeners like you. Listeners who complete the survey will be entered in an ongoing monthly raffle to win a $100 Amazon gift card. We promise not to share or sell your email address, and we won't send you email unless you win. Please go to podsurvey.com/Brian. That's podsurvey.com/BRYAN to take our survey and get a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.